can't take this book away because it's really shiny.
Oh, yeah.
And I put my own stuff. All right. Let me open this up. Fantastic. All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Ali. I'm a grateful alcoholic.
Hi.
Start the timer. Roger's got all this on tape, doesn't he? All right. I want to, first of all, thank everybody for coming here and for staying for a long day. Appreciate you guys. Without you guys, there would be no conference. There would be no meetings. So thank you for giving up your time and your day to be with us in this celebration of the power of Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to thank Judith and the committee and my amazing host Coleman and Lexi and everybody and Megan. Sorry if I don't remember some names. I want to thank you guys because what you guys have done is huge here. See, what happens from my experience is that when somebody's really touched and their spirits awaken and their heart is filled up, they can't but help but give it away. You know what I mean? And the light just shines through them and they become the steward of this light. They become the carrier of this light. And then they pass on this light. So that's what Judith has done in North Dakota, and she's found that God has put a bunch of shadow warriors and light carriers around her, and she's been doing, you guys have been doing some amazing work here, so thank you for doing this. But because of the hard work that you guys have put in for a year, probably up to now, right? A year or two, to make this thing happen, we get to come over here and celebrate in the Fellowship of the Spirit. See, the spirit of the fellowship for our newer friends, welcome. For our friends that are coming back, welcome. The spirit of the fellowship is a beautiful thing. It's what attracted me to you guys. One of the things, you know, the camaraderie, the joyousness, the kindness, you know. But what has kept me here is much deeper than that, is a fellowship of the spirit, is a fellowship of the spirit of the power of goodness that we all get to tap into in our own ways. That has lifted each of us in our own ways from the scrap heap of life and put us in this beautiful life today, you know? So I want to thank the committee. Can we just give them one more big round of applause? And I just... I want to thank the fellow messengers that are here. I am humbled that I'm, for whatever reason, Judas asked me to be amongst your, you know, your midst with your... depth in sobriety and length in sobriety and kindness and humility. You guys, you know, I could spend the next hour telling you each what I have gotten from your beautiful shares, and I can't wait to hear Mari, my friend Mari, speak as well at dinner. But I think instead of doing that, you all know, what I want to thank you for is keeping the light on. For someone like me, 7 years in and out of this program, dying. In the depths of despair of this program, in the disease, didn't know what to do. And it was a light that you kept on shining. You guys and the other old-timers in the, you know, in the audience, with your kindness, with the smiling faces, come on in, kid, have a seat, have a cup of coffee. Why don't you come up with your own conception of God? You would tell me, you know? Because the long-timers and the older, the people that came before me, you guys demonstrated principles in your affairs like I'd never seen before. If you don't practice principles in your affairs, if you don't make this thing attractive, then someone like me, a sick, broken soul like me, will never want what you have, you know? So I'm grateful for you. I notice you. I watch you. I watch the way you treat me. I watch the way you treat other people. I watch the way you continuously show me that we don't shoot the wounded here, you know? So thank you for that. Thank you for that. I appreciate you. Thank you for that. Thank you. I think Alex was just saying, we're just talking, he was saying step down is a hard step to speak on. In a way it is, I guess, because you can never get it perfect, you know, you're not supposed to. But in a way, it's not that difficult. I mean, when you think about it, because what it is just this way of living. Fumbling and stumbling, broken, this way of living. How I've done it and not done it, you know? So in a way, just get to share my soul with you guys. And first thing I want to share is that I was separated from alcohol on January the 4th of 2012. I've been in the middle of the circle and triangle. Hold up. There's more to that. Top clap. I've been in the middle of the circle and triangle. I haven't left you guys. I haven't had a drink. I've been writing inventories and sponsoring people and praying, meditating, going to meetings. But my sobriety day is September the 8th of 2016. There's a reason for that. All right, that's the one. That wasn't set for the clap, by the way, but thank you. See, later on in the step, it says, it is easy to let up on a spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. Can't see it coming. This is the punch that everybody that I've talked to that has gone out after whatever length of time, sobriety, they thought they could see it coming. Can't see it coming. Subtle foe. See, what happened with me is that my wife, I was coming up to 5 years of sobriety in 2016, September. I was coming to 5 years of sobriety. My wife, who's also sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, she just celebrated 13 years in August. AFSI went to have some minor surgery. The doctor gave her a prescription of Percocets, painkillers to take, right? And for a year prior to that, subtle foe, right? I stopped sharing myself honestly with you guys. I start to think that there's an image to uphold in Alcoholics Anonymous, is what you sound like, and number of sponsees, maybe number of speaking engagements, and what you look like, you know? I'm not talking about necessarily like airing dirty laundry at every single meeting, but at least with my sponsor and with my brothers on the path, right? And alcoholism waits patiently. Cunning, baffling, and powerful. You told me that I'm as sick as my secrets. So when I'm afraid to tell you that I'm in the fetal position at home, sponsoring people because I can't make ends meet financially with my wife, that secret, I'm as sick as that secret. It sat on my shoulders on September the 7th of 2016, and it told me that you never had a problem with pills. You're an alcoholic. You're a drinker. Take a couple. So I took a couple. And the next day, I renewed my dry date. And I'm grateful for that because an ounce of humility, maybe some spiritual growth, I'm not sure, and good sponsorship. I'm grateful because if I didn't do that, I would probably be drinking and dying out there right now. You know, so I'm so grateful for that. And I want to share that because, see, I always, when I woke up in this program, during that time, I used to always read this a little bit in the back of my head, rest on our laurels, right? Like, when I was reading it to somebody, talking about it, sort of like resting on our laurels, as if like the person knows what to do, they're just not doing it. Judgment, right? Like, how false that is. Because, see, what I've waken up to is that I was doing the best that I could from the level of consciousness that I was awake to at that time. And so was everybody else. So was everybody else. I don't believe there's one human being in Alcoholics Anonymous that has been able to walk a perfect path and hasn't rested on the laurels. Because it's not me resting on my laurels, it's this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. It grabs me slowly and sits me down. It's either I'm seeking this power with a desperation of a drowning man, or this disease is seeking me. I'm never involved. What an illusion that I was somehow making a choice to either rest on my laurels or to drink or not to drink. Like, I sort of woke up to that, you know? And I want to share that with you guys right off the bat. I'm so grateful that you've introduced me to a path of progress. I'm so grateful that you've introduced me to a path filled with a deep sense of purpose and meaning in my life, in which I don't have to be perfect. Because if I had to be perfect, I wouldn't be speaking tonight. I would just cancel because of the way I've been behaving at home the last few days with my wife. Last 3 months, 3.5-month-old baby, barely sleeping, plate is full with good things and challenging things, and life is squeezing me. When you squeeze orange juice, you get orange juice out of it. When you squeeze me, eventually you get what's been deep-seated belief system inside of me out of it. And I've been trying to practice this step to the best of my ability. Not so successfully that last few days, but I'm going back home. I'm going back home to clean it up, you know? To clean it up. And I'm so grateful that God doesn't make two hard turns for a broken soul like me, that I don't have to be perfect, that the brokenness is exactly where the light shines through, that I get to disrobe in front of you and show you the molestation of those two 15-year-old boys at the age of 7 and addicted fathers, beatings and the bombings in Iran and racism. Here, I can show you all that. And then not use it as an excuse for victim mentality. But look, man, do you see God shining through? Because that's what you do for me. My sponsor, Butch, he's a loving man. He always says in his talks, and I steal it from him sometimes, he says, we're more brothers and sisters in our defects than our virtues, aren't we, though? Right? Aren't we, though? And what a perfect step this is to talk about. You know? Broken in every way you could imagine. Suicidal, couldn't put 2 days together sober. Unemployed, unemployable. Unloved, unlovable. A loving God, which I didn't know at that time. But at first, when I look back with spiritual clear eyes a little bit more, what at first seemed like a flimsy reed turned out to be a powerful hand of this loving God. Grabbed me, caressed me, brought me to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Fell in love with you guys. Fell in love with the camaraderie, with the joyousness, with your kindness. I fell in love with the fact that you drank like me. That's important, by the way. That's really, really important. That's why the traditions are there. That's really important. 7 years in and out of the program, trying to figure this thing out, trying to tell you about your God and your steps and your way of life, what I agree with it, what I don't agree with it. Meanwhile, I'm dying. After 7 years, I was surrendered. My last drunk wasn't as bad as a 50 before that. renting a room in a men's recovery home, was in AA for 4 months, back in AA for 4 months. Excuse me. Lot of meetings, lot of activity at the group level, setting up chairs and kitchen duty and shaking hands and coffee before, a lot of fellowship, no steps. Double dabbling in the steps. Went and drank for one night, snuck back in, passed out and came to an incredible amount of pain. I wanted to kill myself, I always did. I've had many suicide attempts, slashed wrist, bottles of pills. And my brain told me either kill yourself or take a drink because a drink would fix that. And something happened to me. Probably one of the most profound experiences that I've had to date, and I've had many, and I'm sure you've had many as well, where the ego is at the same time getting what it wants, and God is good, I got the job. It wasn't one of those. I want to kill myself. I don't know what to do. My knees get bent. I didn't bend my knees. My knees got bent. My mouth opened up, and a prayer came out of me. God, whoever you are, whatever you are, can you just please help me not be like this anymore? Because I'm tired. That's a beautiful prayer. I'm tired. Help me. Loving God grabbed me, brought me back to you guys. To you beautiful people, put a new teacher in my path. The teacher opened the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous with me. We went through it line by line, Father, black and the white. That's just what worked for me, okay? So please, I always like to say this. Sometimes, I don't know if you've had this experience, but when I share transformation, I get excited about transformation, right? And I don't ever want it to come across that that's the only way you should. No, that's just what happened to me. I went through it line by line, black and the white, right? And the big book became alive to me. And we wouldn't move forward until the action is taken. And as a result of these steps, the best way I could describe it is that something went inside my heart and flicked on the light. Something went inside this corner, this pitch black, dark hall I was living in my entire life, then turned on the light, and I was able to see. And I started to become free. And I reached this step in the 10th step. This thought brings us to the 10th step, step 10. We suggest we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding effectiveness. You introduced me to a new language. You gave me a new address. I enter the realm of the spirit. The first 9 steps, what they have done is that they have catapulted me into the realm of the spirit in the 10th step. The first 9 steps, what they do is that they start to ever so, sometimes for me, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, they unravel the bondage of self. I always picture like a mummy, you know, the Egyptian mummies, they can't breathe like me. They unravel the bondage of self and I start to be able to breathe. Holy, look at the colors. And you introduce me in this realm of the spirit to a different language. I hope I'm not offending anybody. I'm just going to pick an obscure language. I was speaking Swahili my entire life. You teach me how to speak English in this realm of the spirit. The language I used to speak was that if you hurt me, I was pissed off at you and I could find 1,000 reasons why you are wrong and that was it. That was as far as I had gone. Even sometimes, even though I had an inclination, maybe I sort of hurt you as well, but I was sure you're more to blame. That's the language I used to speak. You introduced me to a different language. In which through these beautiful steps, it's as if like a spiritual, the universe just holds up a spiritual mirror into me and like, I see me. I see me. In which soon after I point to your faults, I gotta look at what within me is disturbable. What within me has been blocking me from the side of the Spirit. No matter what you've done to me, I have to see what I have done to you and clean up my side of the street. Because I've entered the world of this realm of the Spirit and I have a new function right now. My new function is to grow. Continue, grow. Not maintenance, continue, grow. Grow in understanding the effectiveness. Understanding effectiveness of what? Of what? God's will for me in how to serve his other kids. I think it's peppered all over this book. It just, again, my experience and my viewpoint, right? Just from where I stand. It's peppered all over this book. Alcoholic will not survive the trials and tribulations of life unless he helps other alcoholics, right? Grows and perfects his spiritual life through service to other alcoholics. Helping others is the foundation of stone of our recovery. Every single step is like a spiritual thread that just ends up at the 12th step. Understanding and growth and understanding and effectiveness of God's will for me in how to serve his kids. Very simple for me. It's been simplified, you know? And I think the best way for me to sort of continue with the rest of this time together is to pour my experience on it, like every single messenger has done, you know? Because this book, for everybody now knows, right? The first 164 pages is the solution, the rest of the stories, right? This whole book is what, a couple of inches thick, right? We can get a really smart English literature student doing their doctoral thesis on something, right? Read this book, beautiful essay, come and give probably the best talk, better than any alcoholic here, but it'll be shallow and empty. We'll be hungry after. The soul will not be nourished. See, the reason this book becomes thousands of kilometers deep is because we get to pour our experiences on it. And that's what our messengers have done so far. I'm going to take their lead for my experience on it, at this 10th step. How I miserably fail at times and fumble and stumble at times to try to live this way of life just to be a little bit better today than I was yesterday. That's a good goal, by the way, in Alcoholics Anonymous, for me. Just for me, right? Just a little bit better today than I was yesterday. That's all I need to do. I don't need to be perfect. At the age of 35, I blame my father for every single failure of my life. I hated him. He beat us. He was an opium addict. He beat my mom. All I remember as a kid was beatings and fear and bleeding and crying, torture. To this program, walking with a loving sponsor, the spiritual mirror and the steps, I started to see a whole new world came into view. Where I started to see that this poor guy was doing the best that he could with what he had. It was said earlier, right? It was as if, I'm not trying to put down my dad, it's just an analogy, okay? It's as if like, I walk by this homeless man every single day for 35 years. I want $100 from him, he doesn't have to give to me. He's a drunk, he's torn up, he throws a penny at me here and there, he swears at me sometimes. And I get pissed off at him. He didn't have it to give to me. He was beaten as a kid. He was molested as a kid. He was kicked out on the streets of Tehran at the age of 12, doing the best that he can. He became a well-to-do man. Ended up managing a company with 300-400 people under him, making lots of money, accolades. He always had our back financially, though. What he could. What he had. A whole new world came into view when I saw that this man, at the height of his opium addiction, So imagine an addict without a solution, right? Like I'm thinking about me sometimes. I like to think that I'm pretty deep in this, for me, you know, pretty deep in what we do. And at times it comes for a visit and I don't feel like I'm good enough. Just before this, I was telling Judith, you picked the wrong person. Steve came and prayed with me, right? And that's something small, but it comes for a visit sometimes, but I have a design for living in the 10th step, right? I could only imagine with this guy, without a solution, the fears and the insecurities at the height of his career and at the height of his addiction. He picked us up in 1986. Me, my sister, and my mom brought us all the way across the ocean to a new land, Canada. Didn't speak a word of English, looked different than everybody else, left everything that was near and dear to his heart. He didn't have to leave. For me, for us, to have more opportunity in life. I saw what love looks like in action. That's some powerful stuff. Despite how you feel, despite the pains, the trials and tribulations that you have internally and externally, the storms in life, you do this for your family? And I'm blaming you at the age of 35 for every failure of my life? And I got to see what I did to them. The hitting, the beatings, the stealing, the swearing, the chaos, the torture, emotional torture inflicted on him, the sleepless nights on them. I made amends to that man and we became free. And we fell in love. Me and my dad are in love. So I'm at the 10th step now. I just give you a little description of my first 9 with my dad, right? 4 to 9 with my dad. I'm doing my best to live this way of life. Clean house, trust God, help others. Watch, ask, turn. He spews venom. I watch. See, when I'm the watcher, I'm free. When I'm the thinker, I'm in prison. When I identify with these thoughts, I think it's me. I'm in the bondage of self. The door is wide open, the cage wide open. I can't breathe. But when I'm the watcher, I watch. Like a computer program going, oh, there it is. Oh. He spews venom at me, at my mom. God, please remove this from me. Show me who would you have me be? What would you have me do? Dad, I love you. Can I get you something? It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it, Dad. It's all right. Why don't we go out and get some food together, Dad? Can I get you some cigarettes, Dad? Right? I watch. Watch, ass turn. When these crop up, I don't have to be perfect, though, right? Continue for a lifetime. What that means is that this God, the Spirit, has given me permission to be broken because that's how He shines. So when these crop up, Ali, watch, ask, make amends quickly, discuss with someone immediately if you need to, turn. Turn your thoughts to someone you can help. So as I was sort of, you know, spiritual pride, I would talk to some sponsees about how well I'm working this program. God taught me a lesson. I ended up at my parents' house one of the weekends that I go, and I bring them food, and we sit down and eat and talk, and I go to the washroom, I come back, my mom and dad are fighting, yelling at the top of their lungs. What I saw is that he punched her in the shoulder. He used to beat her. He doesn't anymore. That's what I saw. He punched her in the shoulder. You know all that spiritual goal where it went? Out the window. I just saw red. I charged him. I punched him in the chest as hard as I could. I wasn't going to punch him in the face, my dad, right? I punched him in the chest, and I grabbed my mom, and garbage bags were putting stuff, and him and my dad just throwing venom at each other, sponsoring people, speaking here and there, venom at each other, meditating, praying, writing inventories. When these crop up, I take my mom, I take her to my sister's home, I call a friend, and I'm just cursing AA, and I don't want to live this way of life, this is bull. Why do I have to make amends? Why do I have to set things right? God doesn't make too hard terms. And this program is not rigid. Rigidity is the prison that I die in. I got another beautiful teacher used to say, you got to wear the world like a loose garment. Right? Watch, ask, turn, immediately discuss doesn't sometimes happen in the timeline that I wanted to, but it happened. After a few days of praying and talking to you beautiful people and you pouring your light and love into me, I start to like, man, what did I do? I just doused him in gasoline, I set him on fire, I left him. The poor guy doesn't know any better. Look at me. Look at you, with all the spiritual growth and all the community to help you support this beautiful life that you're trying to live. Look at what you did to your own dad. Look at your reaction. What do you expect him to do without a solution? He didn't really hurt her in that instant. Exaggerating. What are you doing? So I called him up. I started to visit him. He's alone now, right? Bring him food. He threw venom at me. pray, watch us turn, watch us turn. I could see how you saw it that way, Dad. I'm really sorry. I'll try to be better, Dad. You're 100% right, Dad. You start to trust me again. You know, my mom eventually moved back home, and a couple years later of living this program, this step, this program to the best of my ability with your help, I'm at their home. He pulls me aside and he says, my mom's back now and everything's good. He pulls me aside and I'm translating now. Okay, he said it in Persian, I'm translating. He said, son, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for you who you are. I know I haven't been the best dad. When you're around, I feel like I'm free, like I could breathe. You know? I feel like I'm not judged. Can you talk to me about this recovery thing that you have going on? He didn't get sober. I talked to him, and I continue to talk to him, but that's not the point. My dad being any different than he is or being sober is not my agenda anymore. He's my gift. God gave him as a gift to me for me to grow better, for me to grow stronger, for me to become present in the Son of the Spirit, for me to be a better messenger, a better human being, better son. He's my assignment. In this step, I got to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Three weeks ago, my mom calls me frantic. 10 in the morning. My dad is now mid-stages of Alzheimer's. So he's forgetting names and he's forgetting words. It's hard for him to keep a conversation going, but he still recognizes us, right? So in an Alzheimer's episode, I guess, I don't know what else to call it, he starts freaking out because he's on his opiates, right? And for those that have experience, you get constipated for weeks at a time, right? So he's constipated. So he finds my mom drinks this thing to make her go, right? So instead of drinking like half a cup, he guzzles the whole bottle. So this poor man at the age of 77, from 2 in the morning to 10 in the morning, and kept on going, when my mom called me, he couldn't hold himself enough to go from his bed to the bathroom. Everything's soiled. My mom calls me, I don't know what to do. I'm tired, I don't know what to do. I said, okay, Ma, I'll just don't worry about it, I'll take care of it, right? Watch my fears and my judgments. Here he is again. He's always a burden on us. Watch. I'm not in prison. I'm just watching. Pray. God, remove this. What would you have me do, God? So we'll start calling cleaning companies. Okay, Ashley, would you help me? My wife gets on the phone. She calls 10 or 15 cleaning companies, and some of them are like cleaning for the elderly, extreme cleaning, but nobody wants to clean feces. What a false advertisement is that? extreme cleaning, right? God, what would you have me do? Looks like it's me, isn't it? Okay, fine. All right. I get in the car. I go to a Home Depot. I don't know if you guys have that here. And I buy all that I could think of, gloves and mask and this and that. And a sponsee call I had at that time. He calls. I got to pick it up because I have a commitment. Hey, Phil, how you doing, brother? I'm doing okay, Ali. For the first time, they rarely ever ask me, how you doing? How are you doing? Man, this is what's going on. Well, you're at the Home Depot? Make sure to get a carpet cleaner. You got to rent a carpet cleaner machine. Thank you. Well, that came in handy. So I go to their home. Everything is just soiled. He's sleeping in his own. He's scared. Dad, let me take you to the shower. There's another shower? He didn't want to come. He's scared. So I talk him into it. I take him to the shower. He was scared to go in the shower. I don't know why. So I take him in there. And I'm praying. And the prayers that's coming out of me is, God, thank you for this opportunity to serve my dad. And I start to rub his back and clean the feces off his feet. Thank you, God. See, the whole time he's thanking me, and he starts to talk to him why the last few years since he got his Alzheimer's, he talks to me very politely. Like in Persian, like French, there's like a way you talk politely to someone as older than you or a stranger than you, right? So he's talking to me like I'm a stranger, I'm older than him. And he keeps on saying, you grace me with your presence. I love you. Thank you. Thank you for gracing me. I'm like, Dad, it's okay, Dad. I love you too. I don't care how many speaking engagements I have, how many sponsors I sponsor, I don't sponsor. I don't care how I sound like. That's the grace of God right there. That's what makes me one of his broken kids, a servant. The lowest position and the highest position and the lowest position, what do they say, right? The fact that this, the whole time that I'm doing this, that I'm cleaning him up, that I'm clean afterwards, I put him to bed, I'm cleaning the feces with 3 hours praying the whole time, and just this love is inside of me. See, because what you taught me, that life is about the turn. Watch, ask, why? Why? So I can learn more about myself? So I can still look like a spiritual guru, how much I meditate? Why? So I can turn my thoughts to one of his other kids to be of maximum service. When my life has become about the turn, you know what's happened? Life stopped happening to me. I don't know when, but it did. Most of the time, life happens for me. For me to grow in understanding effectiveness. For me to be a better human being. I don't know why this happens. Like, there's no logic to it. When my hands are shaking in life, when they're trembling, they just all of a sudden stop, and a peace comes over me when I start washing your feet. Bill Wilson said in that hospital bed, common sense will become uncommon sense, right? When my common sense, in order for me to feel good about me, self-esteem, we all self-esteem, right? I got to do for self to get esteem, right? Go to the gym, get big muscles, get a nice girlfriend, and a nice car, and nice accolades, and you'll tell me I'm okay, and I'll feel okay about me, right? You tell me, kid, this program is backwards, inside out, inside out. You do for others. You make your life about the turn in this step, in this way of life. I was financially, it's been difficult. It's getting a little better, but it's been difficult. It's been difficult with a family to try to find a job to, like, it's a lot better now, but like for a while, it was difficult with a family to try to find a job to help support a family. You know what I mean? Like, he could, 15, 20 bucks an hour, he could support maybe a bachelor these days, right? But a family, are you kidding me? And I don't have to tell you the noise in an alcoholic's head. No matter how much I pray and meditate, once in a while, waits patiently, right? You're a loser. You're not a real man. How can you be a dad? I don't have to tell you the depression that sometimes follows some for someone like me, you know? So one of these times, I end up getting a job a few years back with a man I used to sponsor. He's a beautiful guy, Dino. He's still sober. I don't sponsor him anymore, but he's still sober. He still has a company building fences around homes. And I was a laborer, you know, like you have to, there's something called clam shovels, like you have to dig 3 or 4 feet for the post of the fence to go in the backyard of people's homes. And it was a hot summer, man. I was tired, and it was just, I was a Friday. It was a tough week and a tough summer. It's hard doing that work, you know. I was cursing God. Tears were just in the corner of my eyes. I was cursing him under my breath. I'm doing what I think you would have me, God. What kind of deal is this? I want to stop fighting with AFSCME over the bills. I don't want to do this anymore. What kind of program, what kind of way of life is this, man? Am I supposed to struggle the rest of my life? Feel like a loser? You've taught me well. And then all of a sudden, instead of thinking, I watch. Watch. Selfishness, dishonesty, fear. I start to ask him, God, please remove the self-centered thoughts from me, self-centered fears from me. Would you show me what you would have me be, what you would have me do? Please show me what I can be of service to, because I'm tired of me. 30 seconds, 1 minute after that prayer, I hear the voice of a 60-year-old gentleman who was working as a laborer right beside me the whole summer. He had lost his, he had a deck business. He was well-to-do man, like building decks and homes. He lost it in a messy divorce. That's what he told me. I heard his voice. Ali, can you help me? I've been wanting to kill myself for the last 2 weeks and I can't stop drinking. Can you help me? I never told them that I'm in AA. In conversation, I just say, I don't drink anymore. You know? I don't drink anymore. I guess he saw the light that you poured into me that shined out of me. So I open up my mouth and I hear the words come out and I start to talk about how bad it was and the suicide attempts and I couldn't stay sober. Then I start talking about you, what you've done for me. I started to talk about this program and the power of a loving God, which I don't understand, man. I'm not supposed to. I just experienced as a result of some actions. This man is sober today. You know what happened? I'm not sponsoring, but he's sober. You know what happened as a result of this? That moment, I had a profound spiritual experience, shift in thinking and outlook in life. Nothing changed externally. Everything does the same. Watch, ask, turn. Because of the turn, all of a sudden, all the have-tos in my life became get-tos. I get to come to work. I get to be a laborer. I get to hustle. I get to look for another job. I get to help one of God's kids. I floated the rest of that summer. And guess what? Everything was paid for. We didn't end up on the streets. And God took me from job to job to job to job. And every single time I think I'm there to build a bank account, he said, uh-uh, kid, you're there to do my work. You made a deal with me back in the third step. Now we'll do your work. The deal was not for you to become a circus speaker. That wasn't the deal. To have a happy marriage all the time. To be rich and be acknowledged. No, that was the deal. The deal was, God, you do with me, you build with me, whatever you want. And I'm going to take care of the details of your life. That's the deal. I ended up working for my sponsor, who owns a company manufacturing and selling windows and doors for homes, you know. I was never in sales. About 3 years ago, I started. I started working for him, and now I'm making more money than I ever did before, actually able to support a family a little bit more than before, you know, working a job that actually I enjoy, because it's an honest company and good product, you know what I mean, just good people. But with a sales job, talk about having to lean on God. 100% commission. 100% commission, right? I found myself in a period where, man, I was honest. I know we have the better product. The deals are not going through. For whatever reason, they're choosing different people that are not doing, right? And I got bills piling up. I'm like, oh my God. And I find myself, I can't get out of bed sometimes. What happened? I thought it went away. Well, you mean I'm not cured of alcoholism? You mean I have a daily reprieve? Contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual growth? So what my sponsor told me, what I start to do more heavily than before every single conversation, before every single call, before every single appointment with a customer, I would literally park about 30 seconds away from their home and pray. And ask God to help me. God, can you please watch, ask, turn, right? God, can you please remove this fear from me, remove this attachment that I have to results from me. Show me what my assignment is. Maybe my assignment is not to make a sale. Please show me what my assignment is here. Because I know you're going to take care of the details of my life. And I start to go to people's home and I start to talk about their cancers. And their heart transplants. And the power of God. And their children who are addicted and alcoholics. And I start to talk about me, and whether the sale is made or not, I'm free and bills are paid. One time I went to this lady's, it was Sunday, 8 in the morning, that was the only time she could meet. I went to her house, and she had just such a serene, like, energy about her, right? She had a cup of coffee, I'll never forget. I walked up to her porch, we started to talk about the front door and some windows, and then I don't know why and how, soon after the conversation became about her. She started to tell me about the fact that she's been a yoga teacher, spiritual teacher for about 20, 25 years, meditating, teaching meditation, really involved in helping organizations to help people with mental health and all that kind of stuff, right? And you've taught me well. I watch when I'm irritated, agitated, fearful, or even confused. I pray. God, what's my assignment here? What's my assignment here? Tell her. Tell her. So I listen to that voice now. No matter how scary, I listen to the voice, right? Very briefly. First of all, I said, listen, I want to thank you for who you are, for society. I want to thank you. People like you are so precious. Because you add to for everything that you've been doing for people that are a little bit disadvantaged. I want to thank you for that. I want to tell you that I also suffer from mental health. Actually, I've been sober for this one in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? So I want to thank you for people like you for being who you are. I say that, this lady starts to cry. She starts to cry. This is a spiritual teacher. She's like, Ali, are you effing kidding me? Like, damn it, maybe I shouldn't have told her. She's crying. She said, you know, with all the spiritual knowledge I have, with all the people I help, my husband is an alcoholic. He's been sleeping 2 days now. I don't know what to do for the past 10 years. You mean God sent you here to help us? Is that what you mean? I opened up my mouth. I talked to her about you guys and Al-Anon and the beauty powerful of this program. I send her books, and I sent her AA.org, all that kind of stuff. I don't know what happened to them. But that was my assignment. See, because the big book tells me God is the employer. My sponsor, Butch, is not the employer. God is the employer. I am directed and suggested to me that for me to build a relationship with the ocean of God. See, what happens to me is that alcoholism comes for a visit, and I start to worship the little rivers and the streams that come from the ocean. These relationships, this job, even this marriage, that the lady that I love, just a river from the ocean. And when I focus on the river and the stream, I start to get afraid. She's going to leave. He's going to fire me. What's going to happen to me? And what you beautiful people do, with the way you walk and the way you shine, through this step, you lift my head up, and you point at the ocean. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great things will come to pass. Because every relationship I have is as a result of a relationship with this loving God. Everything comes out of this relationship with this loving God. I'm a better father because of this relationship with this loving God, better husband because it's better. Watch as turn. Love and tolerance of others are code. Watch, Esther. In September, I remember the exact date, September 29th of 2022. I was at the gym doing bench press. I decided to do my max. Judith knows. The tendons that connect this chest muscle to the shoulder ripped right off. They snapped right off, both sides. Excruciating pain. My hands are like this at the gym. Thank God I had a spotter. He grabbed the bar, or else it would have crushed my neck. He asked me, "Do you want me to call an ambulance?" And I'm like, "No, no. I don't want to cause a scene for your business." And I was a little embarrassed. Okay, let's just be honest. Right? It wasn't all altruistic. Come on. He drives me to Markham Stouffville Hospital, right? So many tests and many orthopedic surgeons later, and many, oh my God, it was so painful. I had to wait for my orthopedic surgeon because he's the only guy that can do this kind of surgery really well. He was on vacation. I had to wait for him for a month. And man, the surgery is done. Sorry, no. So this thing happens. It happens on a Friday morning. Friday night, I come home. And I realized I'm speaking, this injury just happened, right? They pumped me with morphine. They gave me some painkillers to come home with, right? And I realized I'm speaking at a one-day roundup and 3 hours away from my home at the drive, right? So I, oh my God, I called this lady and I explained to her and I canceled. She understood. I said, she really understood, right? So then I sleep, and the next morning we wake up, my wife takes my shoulder and we go into the room, and we hadn't really sat down on prayer and meditation together in a while. We used to do that. We had just this life, right? We haven't done it. We do it separately now. So she sat me down on the rocking chair and she sat by my feet. And then we just prayed a little bit and we just were silent for a little bit. The pain was so bad that with those pills, as prescribed, it would go from a 10 to a 5 when I took them. It was really bad. When I didn't take them, it was excruciating, right? She opens up her eyes and I open my eyes up. I don't know how long it was, whatever it was, right? She's like, how's the pain? And I said, it's not there. She said, you know what you have to do? What? You got to go speak. What do you mean? No, you got to go be of service. What are you doing here? Like, okay. I call up the lady and I say, look, this is what's happening. Have you found someone? Like, no, come on in, no problem. Yeah, we'd love to have you, right? I call this sponsor of mine. He's a beautiful man, Kuna. He clears his schedule and he drives me for 3 hours. We're driving. 3 hours we're driving. We're talking about the power of God. And then the pain starts to come, and I start to quiet and pray. God, please show me who I can be of service to. Another sponsee calls, who's 5 months sober. We had apparently a big book appointment, which I forgot about. So I open up the big book. He's on speaker. Nesha, you okay if Kuna hears? Yeah, no problem. We're going through the third step together. The pain is gone. We get to this conference, And so Kuna's sitting there. There's a straw in this thing. My hands are in a brace. So every 3-4 minutes, my mouth gets dried, right? Even more now, right? So I got to go. He brings it up to my mouth. I drink and I talk. I don't know what came out of my mouth. I really don't. But I'll tell you this. Watch, ask, turn. In this line, new person after new person after new person after new person. Something like, look, I don't remember much of what you said, but whatever you're tapped into, whatever program that you're living, that has you drive 3 hours in excruciating pain to come and tell me about it, I want what you have. Whatever program you're tapped into that has that man Kuna, both of you, cut your meal at dinner and feed it to you in front of everybody like this, I want what you have. Watch, ask, turn. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Love and tolerance becomes a code in my life. I don't do it perfectly, but it becomes a code in my life. It's been mentioned many times in the talks, of the beautiful messages that came before me. There's not a drinking program. If it was a drinking program, the solution would be, thank you very much, have a good life. One person gets me, thank you, God bless you. See, love and tolerance can only become a code when I'm introduced to a love story. Alcoholics Anonymous is a love story. A love story that was started almost 89 years ago when two broken souls, Dr. Bob Smith and Bill Wilson, it was as if God just grabbed two of his pebbles, dropped them in the pond of life, and ripple effects started, and then waves of the language of love started, which all of us are writing in this beautiful conference right now. A love story in which I start to realize that the only thing that's ever been blocking me from love, from this God experience, has been me, inside of me. And this process of these beautiful steps, and as a way of life in the 10th step, what it does is continuously remove from me this debris of self that blocks the sunlight of the Spirit. And I get to breathe, and I get to shine. So you have to practice this to the best of my ability on a daily basis. Not perfectly, best of my ability. Because this beautiful light that's shining through me as a vessel, as a channel. When I say me, I mean all of us, right? I'm just using me. Right? As a vessel, as a channel, it needs the channel, the pipe needs to be clear from debris. Because in order for me to stay sober and stay present and stay happy in this moment where God is right here, right now, this loving energy has to flow through me into the lives of others. Turn. This life is about the turn. Through me into the lives of others. So I gotta watch, ask, make amends quickly, discuss with someone quickly if I can. Write inventory still when I can. It's one of the tools that was introduced to me. I don't let that go. Once in a while, I need to do mini inventory. Because no matter sometimes how much I watch, ask, and turn, for sometimes there is nothing that gets deep into my soul, produces a deep awakening, like putting pen to paper and reading it to someone else that understands what I'm talking about. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. A love story in which I get to be in love with my wife. A spiritual love, not just a romantic love. I don't have the ability to have romantic love. I'm too selfish. Like, that's the only, I mean, the only way, right? I'm too selfish. Romantic love is for me, if you do for me, if you acknowledge me, if you agree with me. Spiritual love. What that means is that God is in the middle of this relationship with Afsi and I. Either God is everything or this marriage is nothing. And I usually make it nothing, and I'll blame her. I'm sure she's the problem. I can make a case. A really good case. It doesn't matter what she does. I love what was said earlier. Power is on my side of the street cleaning. I'm not on hers, right? In love with my son. Darius is the greatest thing, man, in my life. 9 years old. He's a child of God. I'm a good dad. I'm a real good dad, man. All the things, I play with him and I joke around and laugh and, baby, you could be anything you want to be. I love you. You're handsome. What, those kids are bullying you? It's okay, baby. You be nice. But I put him in martial arts and I also told him, listen, if they hit you, you hit them hard. You hit them hard. Yeah. And then we could talk about after. You defend yourself. Come on. Spirituality is not stupidity. It's very practical. It's very practical. And he's a gentle guy. He's a good guy. I'm not just, not because he's my son, he's just a good guy. You know what I mean? Like all the love, all the things that my dad didn't give to me because it was never given to him to give to me. Maybe a child should have had, whatever, right? I pour into my son because of the love you pour into me. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I get to be in love with the men that I sponsor. I love that man. I love my sponsor. I haven't seen another human being. Like, I know a lot of people, but obviously I don't have close relationships with everybody. I've been blessed to know a lot of people in Alcoholics Anonymous. I haven't met another person that I know on a close basis that practices principles with love and kindness like Butch does. You know, love with my own sponsor. Love, expressing love to the girl at the Tim Hortons coffee checkout line. God bless you. You having a good day? Thank you so much for what you do. Express love. Love is an action word. Faith is an action word. Gratitude is an action word. A loving God. A forgiving God that I've tapped into. Because of you beautiful people. Because of this beautiful program. Because of this amazing step. I'll end with this. And this loving God. This beautiful, powerful inner resource. He knows me so well. He has it set up. The only way for me to participate in this love story of Alcoholics Anonymous is for me to be loving to you. Ain't that beautiful? If you're new, if you're newly back, welcome back. Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. I pray that you set aside everything that you think you know. If you're sick and tired of being you, like I was sick and tired of being me, that you join a home group and grab a sponsor and dive in these steps and come participate in this love story with us. God bless you. Thank you very much.